In previous seasons, we opened each show reviewing cases of girls who are currently missing that we call the Aisha Alert. In our third season, we've decided to switch some things around. We will no longer be adding the Aisha Alerts into the shows, but will continue to post new cases of missing Black girls on our social media each week. We encourage you to pay close attention to our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram so that you can help us help the families who are still seeking answers and long for their loved ones' safe return.
You are listening to Season 3 of Black Girl Missing, a podcast that covers stories of Black girls reported missing when they were under the age of 18. When Black girls go missing, their cases are severely underreported in mainstream media. We want to shift the narrative. We invite you to listen, learn, and do whatever you can to help us bring as many girls home as possible. Due to the sensitive and sometimes graphic nature of these cases, we advise you to use caution when listening.
Welcome back to Black Girl Missing. I'm Nikki.
I'm Asa.
And I'm Feminisa Jones.
How we doing?
I'm all right.
Girl, I got some chicken in my mouth.
Of course.
It's good though. Yeah. Hungry. You know what I mean?
Glad you're enjoying.
I love, we keep it real around here. You know, people want us to keep it 100.
Keep
it 100.
I had some spicy honey shrimp with some rice and some kimchi.
Okay,
fancy. I saw it. It looked like it was tasty.
And some dumplings. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Asa, what did you have for dinner?
Fried chicken and macaroni and cheese.
See, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, fried chicken and macaroni and cheese. We are gang, gang, gang. Like, this is what we do. See, this is why our podcast has the synchronicity that it has. Because we are one accord under the name of fried chicken.
And we, hallelujah.
And we eat right. Good. We eat good over here.
I love what we do. All right. What are we doing today? What are we talking about today? Nikki, I think you got something great today, right?
Yes, I do. On the last season of Black Girl Missing, we put out an Aisha alert for Breasia Terrell from Davenport, Iowa. It has been over a year, and we regret to update that Breasia's remains were found in Clinton County, Iowa.
Oh, man.
She was found deceased. I believe she had just turned 11 years old. Rest in peace to Breasia. People were frantically looking for her, and everyone was feeling real optimistic, and it just didn't turn out the way we wanted it to, as you know, that happens sometimes. Breasia was last seen on Friday, July 10th, 2020, in the early morning hours, wearing a white t-shirt, shorts, and flip-flop sandals. 4 days later, Henry Dinkins was announced as a person of interest in the case and was arrested and placed in police custody on unrelated sex offender charges. Put a pin in that.
I mean, you're starting out early.
Yeah.
It's already early. We already set the scene. Oh, no.
Put a pin in that. So the search for Breasia expanded to Clinton County after it was found that Henry Dinkins has connections in the Clinton, Iowa area. Police called off search efforts for Breasia 10 days after she vanished. 10. Super suspicious. And y'all called off the search after just 10 days.
10 days. Like, that is what? Okay. Was it that they couldn't pronounce her name? Were they tired of saying her name?
Like, probably.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I just have no love for any of these people anymore.
No.
Meanwhile, we have been looking for JonBenet Ramsey for how many years?
26 years, maybe? 25? Yeah. 26?
Something.
Yeah.
Breasia's family continued to look for her, and they did all they could. They used social media. They used local news anchors to, you know, come out, talk to them, see what was going on. They were doing their best to try to continue searching for her. But, you know, that's difficult when you are not of a certain privileged class. You have to have money. They have to give a damn about the fact that you have a missing child. September came. Breasia was supposed to start fifth grade. She was still missing. On Breasia's 11th birthday in December, the Omaha FBI tweeted a request for information and offered a $10,000 reward. Several months passed. In the middle of March 22nd of 2021, Breasia's remains were found in a small pond off of Highway 61 in DeWitt, Iowa, by two fishermen. DeWitt is about halfway between Davenport and Clinton. And they were soon confirmed to be Breasia's. Her body was so badly decomposed that her race, her sex, and her age were not immediately clear.
Wow. That's awful.
Was it clear when the FBI got involved in this case?
It wasn't. Like, when I looked around, I couldn't really tell when the FBI put their hand in the pot. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really sure if they were, you know, coming in early, and that's maybe why the police stepped away. Mm-hmm. It didn't look that way. So the police stepping away from it still looks suspicious to me.
Right.
Yeah, because generally the police and FBI work together.
Right.
What we've seen in some other cases is that the FBI has more resources, they have more connections, mm-hmm. they're mm-hmm. able to tap into more things than the police, you know, when they have to go through different protocol and things like that. So the police may fall back a little bit when the FBI but they don't completely abandon the whole thing. No.
Yeah. Right.
So I wasn't really feeling that. On May 5th, 2021, Scott County Attorney Mike Walton announced that Henry Dinkins was being charged with first-degree murder, first-degree kidnapping, and it was discovered that Breasia's possible cause of death was a gunshot wound.
So I got a question.
Yeah.
They had arrested him before on some unrelated stuff. I guess he got out?
No, he was still in custody.
Oh, he was still there. Oh, okay. And then they charged him. Like, oh, okay. Whew. Right. Okay.
So he was being held on a different...
He was being held on something else. Got it.
Okay.
So let's fill in some blanks, right? Breasia was spending the night at Henry Dinkins' house. Breasia was 10 years old at the time. Her brother was 8 years old at the time. Henry Dinkins is Breasia's brother's dad.
Okay.
So there's a connection.
Yes. So Breasia's mother dropped Breasia and her brother off with Henry Dinkins, who is the mother's ex-boyfriend, the brother's dad. Breasia's mother told local news that her relationship with Dinkins only lasted a few years. Just hold on, it gets more weird. Aisha Lankford, Breasia's mother, says that Henry Dinkins' sex offender status wasn't known to her at first, but that his constant stints in jail, his sex offender status, and his, quote, strange behavior are what split them up after about 3 years. But this is what was weird to me. Aisha Lankford, based on what I was able to find, is 30 years old. Henry Dinkins is 50.
See, this is the stuff, man. Now, I got a question. Breasia's older than her brother, right?
Breasia was older.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he basically found this woman with a small child and preyed on her,
mm-hmm.
probably offered her some money or whatever, took her out, made her feel nice or whatever. What the hell?
Now, when Henry Dinkins, so he's a registered sex offender. His sexual assault of a child took place when he was 17 years old.
Okay.
And I know that age isn't always an indicator of suspicious behavior, but what do, you know, when Henry Dinkins met Aisha Lankford, she was 20 and he was 40. What do y'all have in common?
Ew.
I ask this question all the time. People get on me upset, but I'm like, I'm sorry. No. Mm-mm.
What do you have? You don't have shit in common. There ain't nothing. I'm 37 years old. There is nothing that a 20-year-old has to offer me.
Not even conversation.
I want to know if you ate. Do you need clean socks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where your mama at?
That's what I just say. Exactly. How your mama doing?
How your is mama
doing? Okay? Is she all right? Is the rent due and does she need some help? That's no other reason why you're talking to me.
So now I have a question. Since Dinkins has a sex offender status, mm-hmm. and Breasia is not his biological daughter, was he allowed to have her in his close proximity?
I don't believe so. And I think that Aisha just dropped her off there like, I need a babysitter.
You know, it all depends. It depends on the class of the class of the assault and what mm-hmm. level they're ranked at. Yeah. Certain levels, you are absolutely not allowed around any children at all. You can't mm-hmm. get within any school zones or whatever. But some of them, for example, if he got this at 17 mm-hmm. and the person was 14, you know, he could catch one of those kinds of cases mm-hmm. and it'd be like a third class or something like a lower class of things. Mm-hmm. So I hate that, right? I actually mm-hmm. hate that happens to younger people, and they definitely target Black male teens mm-hmm. worse with this, right? Yeah. Because, you know, you're in high school. If you happen to be a junior and a person's a freshman, you know, you may mm-hmm. have that. But if the parents don't like you, they'll come and you, next thing you know, you're branded as a sex offender for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, if it's a case when it's like a child and he's 17, then that's different, right? Mm-hmm. And it was. Right, right, yeah. Exactly. So that's, you know, that's something different in terms of like, and then every state is different with what's allowed, right? So, but I'm interested in her saying strange behavior. Like, part of me thinks that he was acting funny around her daughter.
Yeah.
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 You know, but I wonder how long it took for her to, you know, decide because, okay, so you meet him, your daughter's like 2 years old or whatever, you end up having a baby with him. This is the father of your child. So what are you really going to do?
Right.
You're young. He's older. You may be relying upon him. You don't want to necessarily keep him away, but some stuff is starting to not click. So she might have mm-hmm. thought she was in a tough space while she was super young.
Yeah. Right. She also, she said that their relationship only lasted a few years.
Yeah.
But you can do a lot of damage in a few years. Right. It don't take that long. So Henry Dinkins did have a girlfriend that was in the home with him. And I'm real curious about their relationship because it seemed a little odd the way that his girlfriend communicated with the police. So his girlfriend's name is Andrea Culberson. She told police, now walk with me here. She told police she fell asleep around 11 o'clock on the night of July 9th, 2020. So 11 o'clock, she's asleep. She said the kids were in a bedroom and Henry Dinkins was sitting on the sofa. She said she woke up at about 3 a.m. and Breasia and Henry Dinkins were gone.
Mm. What? And you're like, okay.
Where the hell would y'all be at 3 a.m.?
3 a.m. and that doesn't raise
any alarms
for you. Like, I don't care who you are.
Right.
This man and this girl are gone.
Right.
In the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night. You don't call her mama?
Or you don't try and find out where he is.
Here's what's bothering me. She went back to bed.
Mm-mm. Oh. Mm. Oh. Complicit.
Do
we have an age on her as well? Is she also very young?
She's not very young, but she's younger than he is.
Okay.
But she's grown enough that this shit shouldn't be happening. So mm-hmm. she did call him. She did call him before she went back to bed, but she did go back to bed. So she texted him at 7:17 in the morning, and he appeared shortly after that. He grabbed his phone and left and said he was going to go look for Breasia.
Wait, so he left his phone at the house?
Initially, which we know why you would do that.
Exactly.
Because then your phone's not going to be pinged.
Mm-hmm. Oh man! Yeah. So he thought about this.
He thought about this. Whatever was going on, he knew he was about to do it. This was totally premeditated. So when she texted him at 7 something in the morning, he popped up, grabbed his phone, and left, and said he was going to go look for Breasia. However, according to the phone records that they got from Verizon, Andrea Culberson called Henry Dinkins at 3:11, 3:12, 5:55, 7:12, and 7:15. So between 3 and 6 a.m., she went back to bed. Then it looked like she went back to bed, you know, during a 6 a.m. hour, got back up at 7, called him a couple more times, and then she texted him and he finally responded. There was an incoming call to her at 6 a.m. that lasted 10 seconds. So during this whole ordeal, his phone is powered off so it can't be traced. He either left his phone at home or he turned it completely off.
Wow. Wow. He didn't want to be found. On purpose. Yeah, exactly. He didn't want to be found.
Nope. So on July 14th, a few days after Breasia goes missing, Culberson asked to speak to detectives. And she said that she put his phone on the phone charger at 3 a.m. She didn't tell the police that before. So that tells us he left his phone there, came back without Breasia, and then said, oh, I'm going to go look for her. But if when you got up at 3 o'clock and you saw that they were both gone, what the hell are you people? What are y'all into? What are you doing?
Right.
So she's saying that she put the phone on the charger around 3.
Yeah.
But then tried to call him. So, you know, okay. Give a benefit of the doubt. You sleepy. You in the middle of the night. You don't really know what time it is necessarily. Mm. She saw his phone, put it on the charger. Maybe after she called, you know, maybe she got the times or whatever mixed up. Maybe she was just sleepy and, you know, we give her a little something. So maybe she tried calling him. Maybe she heard the phone ring or buzz or whatever, put it on the charger or whatever, realized that he didn't have it with him and then went back to sleep and then woke up again around 5:55, you said, and tried to call it again. Yeah. But then why would you try to call when you know the phone is right there on the charger?
And multiple times.
So either the phone wasn't at the house and she's lying to cover for him, or I don't, okay.
Or she is complicit.
Right.
Absolutely. I'm always going to believe that. Yes. You know, and here's the thing.
That happens.
Here's the thing. I have a theory. Can I share my theory already?
Share your theory.
Something happened between him and what's the mother's name again?
Aisha.
The mother's Aisha. Right. Something happened between him and Aisha related to his son. And she decided to he decided to punish her with her daughter.
I can see that.
You know what? That's the vibes that it's given me, that she dropped the girl off. She dropped both of them off, right? Both of them were staying with him, right? So maybe there was some, maybe because she broke up with him or whatever. You know how some of these men can be.
Yeah.
And maybe this is him finally getting an opportunity to enact revenge and kind of like, I'm going to hurt your daughter or whatever. Or, you know, that's one theory that I have.
Right? Yeah, it could be. It gets a little bit stranger.
Oh God.
So Andrea Culberson said that she saw Dinkins after 3 a.m. on July 10th before he left again.
What you mean left again?
So he's in and out of this house. She also said she saw a girl standing outside Dinkins' car that looked like Breasia. Breasia had like sandy, like blonde hair. And to be, you know, a black girl with naturally blonde hair, like you noticed that.
Right.
She said Breasia had distinct hair and she saw a girl with Breasia's hair.
So this also had to be while it was daylight.
No, not unless she's looking out the bedroom window and maybe the car is parked outside as a street light or something.
Yeah.
But and the thing is that her story is all over the place. Yeah. Did she put the phone on the charger? Did she call? Did she see them? Did he come back? Did she see them outside? She's not giving no linear story.
Because so far, if we're paying attention to what she's saying, he's come back into the house twice already.
Yes. Which I think probably is what happened, but she tried to tell one story early on, and that's probably what ended up happening. He was coming back in it, and that would explain also why she's also trying to call him. Like, what are you doing? Where are you going? What's going on?
Right. So, Dinkins' phone was tracked to Clinton. So, basically, what it sounds like is something happened between him taking Breasia out of the house at 3 and him coming back the first time. I think what happened was he left his phone, went back to get the phone. The phone was off and he thought, my phone not gonna ping if it's off, but that's actually not how phones work anymore.
Right.
So when he went out there the second time, that's when it pinged.
Yeah, that sounds good. I like that. I like the way that that sounds. And he's not obviously not smart enough to realize that that would be the case, right?
So his cell phone was tracked to Clinton, where he was seen on video at 7:04 in the morning at Walmart buying two bottles of bleach.
You know what?
Now.
You know what?
Okay.
What'd you do with two bottles of bleach at the morning at the Walmart?
At 7 o'clock.
Seven o'clock in the morning at the Walmart. You buy two bottles of bleach and nothing else.
This is very
all the way out in Clinton.
In Clinton.
At Walmart.
Okay. Ain't no Walmart close. You know there's about 18 Walmarts in between. So why you go all the way out to that one?
You left Davenport, Iowa, and drove out to Clinton, Iowa, to go to Walmart for bleach at 7 o'clock in the morning.
You know, there's like seven black people in Iowa. What did he think?
I don't make no sense. So now they lived in a trailer on Schmidt Road in Davenport. So after he leaves Walmart, the cell phone pings him tracking back to the trailer. At 8:20 in the morning. He was the only person of interest in this case, but he hadn't been previously charged in connection with her disappearance until they knew for sure that this had to be him. Mm-hmm. But he was held and then later charged with three unrelated counts of violating the sex offender registry. When you are constantly violating the sex offender registry, whatever you did, it had to be bad.
No, it has to be that.
Yeah.
No, he's a dirty piece of scum. No, complete piece of shit. He did it.
Yeah.
So guilty. He waived his right to a speedy trial. Awesome. And his trial should have started already. But last week, actually, his attorney asked for some more time because talking about he's doing discovery and whatever the fuck. I don't know. It's bullshit. So now his trial is supposed to start in May. I feel awful for Breasia's family because when I think about like just kind of the big picture, you have a young mother. I don't know where Breasia's biological father is, if he's in her life or not. I have no idea. Her mother is young. And then if you really think about it, like, you know, you have this older man who comes along. Ain't no telling where they met, how they met, how they got together. He could have been grooming her for years, if you know, for all we know. We have no idea.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, this is a small town in like the like kind of like Quad City sort of area. It's not like super metro. So I'm sure a lot of the people there are going to be working class. Education is not going to be priority for a lot of them. So when you have a young girl, she already is a young mom. This older man comes along. I have a feeling that Henry Dinkins is the kind of man, if you look at him, he has a very commanding presence because of his size.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big dude. And I can only imagine that he can lure in women with that. I can protect you, take care of you, come be my baby, you know, whatever. And for black girls who grow up without having somebody treat us that way, it's easy to lure us in like that, to say, I will take care of you. You ain't got to worry about nothing. All you got to do is...
Mm-hmm.
And once you hear all I got to do is, that means I don't have to do a whole lot of heavy lifting anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now
no, I'm looking at him. No, he's no. Mm-mm. He did
but
it.
He did that shit.
He did it. Guilty as fuck. He did that. And you know, we don't usually say that kind of thing on the show.
Yeah.
But I mean, given the history. And so the other thing is that he was abusing her.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And something happened. He probably took her out to the woods to try to do whatever horrible things he wanted to do. Something went wrong. He ended up killing her.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. had to get rid of the body, you know.
Or the plan was to do whatever he wanted to do to her and then kill her because he knew that she was going to tell.
Mm-hmm. Right. He may have planned from the beginning, which is interesting because, like, why not buy the bleach ahead of time? But, you know, that's the only reason why I'm thinking, like, you know, I would think that, you know, if he left the phone at home and didn't want, you know, people to figure out that he had gone somewhere with her. That's one thing, but
yeah,
kind of, he didn't really prepare for anything else, it seems, but you never know. I mean, he not might not be the brightest bulb on the line, you know what I mean?
Or this could have been something that has been going on for a while, and then, you know, something happened, he lost more quote unquote control, and that's why.
Or she tried to fight back finally, or whatever, you know, because he's been in her life since she was two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's when her brother was born. So probably even before that. So she's known him all her life, even if, you know, he's not with her mom anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And this is her brother's dad. So there's a certain trust factor there. But if he'd been doing stuff to her since she was little, I mean, we don't know.
Right.
They said her body was so decomposed.
You can't tell.
They couldn't even tell, you know, whatever.
But like, if this was an ongoing pattern, that would speak to why his girlfriend was not shocked when he was gone. Him and Brazier were gone in the middle of the night,
Which makes her complicit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, that's awful. You know, and it's one of those things that like we hate to hear. Like, we have an Aisha alert. You know, we set these alerts to see if there's any updates on people. And you know, our biggest fear is that they are found, you know, dead or whatever. And, you know, we hope that they're found alive. That happens a lot, though. We look at some cases and we find they're found safely. We're like, yes, we're happy, you know, but then sometimes we get these kinds of situations. This was, you know, considerably recent, relatively recent compared to some of the other cases that we've done. So this is really sad.
Yeah. I mean, it initially, what I was looking to do was just give an update on the Aisha alert. Mm-hmm. And then like literally like the very next day, her remains were found. And I was like, oh shit.
Right.
That's not what we want. But I also, you know, when we do see an Aisha alert and someone is found, you know, we usually will, you know, tweet about it or something like that. Mm-hmm. So the fact that this happened, I wanted to at least touch on it because I don't think that people realize, and I've been seeing this on social media a lot, when we see something happen to a non-Black girl, I see a lot of comments that are like, oh yeah, they gotta be white. Black people don't do stuff like that.
Mm.
Yes, the hell they do.
Actually, you know, some of the most prolific rapists and murderers in this country have been Black men, but because of racism, they don't assume that Black men can be serial killers because they expect them to be intelligent, and they assume that Black men are not intelligent enough to be serial killers. Mm-hmm. But look at Samuel Little, right?
Mm-hmm. But then they also rely on people not caring about their victims. So they don't actually have to be, you know, thinking ahead so far. Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be that careful. Because who's gonna pay attention? Mm-hmm. Who's gonna care?
I mean, look how long Sam Little got away with it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't
until the white woman. It wasn't until they killed that white woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went and started investigating. You know, it's so annoying, you know.
So I wish Brieja's family, you know, peace, and I just hope that this trial gets underway in May, and whatever happens to him happens to him.
Mm-hmm.
We'll update y'all on our social media and let y'all know what's going on with this as well.
I hope he's having the day he deserves.
Right.
But thank you for tuning in, and we will see y'all next time.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Black Girl Missing Podcast is researched, written, and produced by three concerned Black women who want justice for missing Black girls. Today's episode was written and produced by Nikki Irene, and the Black Girl Missing theme was produced by Siraj Khalif. Be sure to follow us on social media. On Twitter, we are at BLK Girl Missing. On Facebook, we're at Black Girl Missing Pod. On Instagram, we're at Black Girl Missing Podcast. Visit our website for more information about each case, blackgirlmissingpod.com. Contact us on social media or email us at blackgirlmissingpodcast@gmail.com with any tips, feedback, or names of girls you want us to look into. You can further support Black Girl Missing by subscribing to our Patreon
where you will receive exclusive behind-the-scenes content and bonus episodes. Go to patreon.com/blackgirlmissingpodcast and subscribe today. We really appreciate your support.